you may have your seats this morning. Bless the Lord. First of all, I want to try and give you a bit of a report of being over with Brother Frank. Brother Frank Hall there in Bromley. And just to say, we had a good time there. I appreciate your prayers, and you know, I believe the Lord really helped me. Now, I was just flying out of Aldergrove, and you know, I went down there on Friday afternoon, and the flight was at 10 to 7. No, that's not right. It was about 6:30 the flight. But I got on the plane, and this is maybe a betrayal, just in passing. I got on the plane, sat down, there was a good time and everything, and they called us for the go, and I said, this is looking good, and we got on the plane, and I had on the earphones, and and therefore I couldn't hear what the captain was saying, but we had a sit on the runway for an hour and a half sitting in the plane. Now the TVO fumes, that's tractor vapor out raising oil. I don't know if what a plane runs on, but the fumes comes inside when she's sitting on the runway taking over, and he raved her up, and then he shut her off and he raved her up. Oh, why? Give me a sore throat almost. And eventually then we took off. Now I had been on the phone to Brother Frank the night before, and I told him I'd be arriving until Gatwick, London Gatwick, North Terminal. I says I'd be arriving in there about 7:30. And he says, John, I'll be there waiting on you. At 8:30, we're only taking off. See, there's nothing in this world that is sure. Not right. Like, there's nothing that's really, really sure in this world. And where man's involved, you can rest assured there's going to be hiccups. Now, I rushed out this morning. Now, how do you rush out whenever the clocks go back an hour? And that car of mine, she's close to the Bo Peep, if you know what the Bo Peep is. I come down the road and I give her the shoe, and coming up over a hill, and she just, as this has happened with me before with her a time or two, if you try to overrave her, she cuts out. Well, she took a wake turn. And she stopped 3 times coming here this morning. 3 times stopped on the side of the road, and she'd done the most of the detour from Bond Bridge down, freewheeling out of here. And then the power steering quit working. She brought a light on. And then when I was turning off the Bond Bridge road into Scarby here, the power steering worked, and I near put her on the foot pod for a She needs Hans lead on her. Really? But anyway, we went over to Brother Frank, and Brother Frank is really, he's laid back. But he is a sincere brother. And Sister Mary. And you know, there's not many ghosts to that wee fellowship. There's only a handful of them. There was about a dozen, but the Lord was there. Amen. And you know, I really do value your prayers. That the Lord was there, and you know, that makes the difference. There's only a handful of people, but hungry for God, and the Lord was there. And I tried to speak about that, the true riches, and I believe the Lord really helped me and gave me something more different than maybe what I tried to speak the last time, but we had really a good meeting there. On the Saturday, Brother Frank come and he picked me up And I stay in a guest house. I don't know if Tommy has been there or Yule has been there, but they call the woman Lourdes. Lourdes. She's called after that place where the Catholic people go. And she's a Chinese woman. She's practically 90 years old. And her husband has dementia, and he is a handful. And she looks after him and runs a guest house as well. And he is hard to do with. You hear him shouting and arguing. But anyway, she looks after me well there, and we get a good breakfast in it. And it's a nice wee place, nice and clean, nice and warm, comfortable. And I stay with Lourdes there when I go over. And you have to take your shoes off at the door going in. But that doesn't matter. When you get to the bedroom, it's lovely carpet. It's really lovely carpet. But anyway, Brother Frank and Mary came and picked me up, and they took me to a National Trust garden out at a place called Bluett. And it was a National Trust running this, and that was in Kent. And it's also said that about Kent, that Kent is like the Garden of Eden. Now, it is a nice place. There's some nice places around Kent, and this particular gardens where we went to, there was every kind of tree, there was every kind of plant from all over the world, and they had been brought in and they're growing there. And it's a really nice place. And also there's features in it like waterfalls and fountains and a rockery and a rose garden. And when you're there, you're looking away out over the countryside. And Frank was telling me that once there was a storm and it uprooted the trees, and there's a lot of new trees have grown again in their place. And he just said that how the storm came and just blew the trees right out, you know. So always whenever you stay with Frank, he picks you up on the Saturday morning and he goes to the coffee shop. That wee coffee shop is down in Bromley, and it's also not only a coffee shop, it's a Christian bookshop. I'm sure Tommy, maybe you've been there, and Brother Joel has been there. And just in case I forget, Brother Frank and Mary sends their regards to everyone here and says to pass on their regards, especially to Tommy and to Brother Yule and to all the fellowship. And they said they will come over sometime and visit with us again, you know. But we go down to this coffee shop and we always get a cup of coffee and a piece of cake or whatever. And there's a man come in there, and he seems to go there every Saturday morning also. And his name is Keith. He's a big, big, tall man. And he has written a book. And he has written a book about the different versions of the Bible. And he said to me that he would forward me a copy of it through the internet. I gave him my email address, and he said he would send me on a copy of the book on the internet. And he basically more or less said that a lot of the new versions, like the International Version, I can't remember all the names of them, but there's a list of names today rather than the King James Version. But he said the sad thing about it is that a lot of them has omitted the name, the word Jesus. The word Jesus is not in them. Very, very seldom mentioned is the name of Jesus. And that's a sad thing, isn't it? Leave us up the enemy. What's to love? Get that name done away with. Don't want to hear anything about that name. Keep it quiet. Keep it low profile. Make it that it's not really important. And this man was emphasizing that, and he told me the number of other versions of the Bible there was, and I can't remember exactly what he said. But I said to him, I suppose there's five or six, and he says, there's 10 times that amount. He says, you wouldn't believe it. He says, there's Bibles springing up everywhere, but they haven't got the original, what we have got. Now, Brother Frank and Mary, as you know, they've got a family. They've got four boys and three and a girl. And the youngest son is Stephen. And Stephen is sort of in rebellion. He's He has stopped going to church. They live in a house that's a three-story house. And Stephen lives up on the top room. And he calls himself a vegan. Now, I'm not going to condemn him for being, if he wants to be a vegan. There's a lot of stuff they don't eat. But also, it's maybe beside the point, he doesn't like anyone cooking meat in the oven if he's going to cook something. And I remember being there the last time and he caused the whole scene because Frank's daughter Rebecca wanted to put chicken in the oven and Stephen wanted to put something in the oven. So he opens up the oven and he takes the chicken out, for he says that couldn't have the chicken in the oven at the same time as his food was in there, in case of cross contamination. See, sometimes people get into what you call a bypass meadow. Now, Stephen really needs your prayers. He's really, really confused. And he came down when I was in Frank's house and he wanted to talk to me. But he wouldn't talk to me in front of Frank, Brother Frank, or he wouldn't talk to me in front of Rebecca. That's Frank's daughter. And then he would be trying to tell me something, and then there would be a cut-off point for Rebecca would be walking through the room, and he would just stop. And he says to me, I can't talk in front of her. And, some of the stuff he was telling me was just, it was just pure nonsense. Really and truly. And he had a terrible interest in the fairy thorn. He was asking me about the fairy thorn. Now, the young people in here wouldn't know about fairy thorns. Never hear tell of a fairy thorn. A fairy thorn is just a thorn that's growing out in the field by itself. And the Catholic superstition people would never touch it or cut it or go near it because they think it carried a power with it. And they're afraid that if you touched that there, you'd have bad luck. I think that car of mine must have been parked beside one. Parked beside a fairy thorn. But that's funny. It sounds funny, but he's getting into this. He's looking at the pagan things. And he started to tell me what the name Jesus meant in Greek. And you know what it is? It's a downgrade of Jesus' name. It's a downgrade. And he said he was really seeking the Lord. He was really seeking for something. And he said, Jesus wasn't the man who came. Now, if Jesus wasn't the man who came, the man who came was a representation, if not Satan himself. That's who come, because there's only two. There's two powers, good and evil. There's the Lord and his angels, and then there's the devil and his angels. But he said that Jesus never came, and he was downgrading the name of Jesus. You know, I'm not interested so much today in what Jesus means in the Greek. My understanding of Jesus in the English is good enough for me.
Amen.
And I'll tell you, the name Jesus in the English will work.
Glory.
It works. Hallelujah.
Glory.
And you know, he was very interested in the story where Saul went down to the witch at Endor and she called up Samuel. Now he was more interested in the witch. No, he wasn't something. No disrespect to young Stephen. But you know, I said to him, look, one day maybe if the Lord tarries and spares, you'd look back and you'll laugh at these things that you were getting into. But you couldn't get a conversation with him. You couldn't get sense out of him. And you couldn't really tell him much. But I didn't spend a lot of time trying to force something on him or run something down his throat. But I just said, you know, that which, and Saul has passed on, but if Saul was to go down to that witch today, she couldn't call Samuel up, because Jesus has died and risen again.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And he led captivity captive.
Amen.
So Samuel was in a realm,
yes,
waiting for Christ to die on the cross,
yes,
and to shed his blood. And Jesus went into hell himself. He didn't have to go there to be saved, but he went in there to bring out the souls that were under the redemption plan through the blood of a sacrificial lamb. Before that, Christ would die on the cross and shed his blood. But when he died on the cross and shed his blood, the veil of that temple was rent free, and the holiest of the way into the holiest of holiest was made open. Hallelujah. And there was a resurrection when Jesus rose. Them old saints arose, and Samuel arose. Hallelujah. He's not there today. She can't go where Samuel is today. Why? How do I know that? I know that because whenever the rich man saw Abraham, he said, "Send Lazarus that he dip his finger in the water and touch the tip of my tongue, for I'm tormented in these flames." And Abraham says, "It's not possible, for between you and him there's a great gulf fixed, so that they would pass from hence to hence cannot." Oh, glory to God.
Amen.
See, Satan's a liar.
Yes.
Satan's a liar. And you see, the young man's deceived. He's deceived. Needs your prayer.
Amen.
God can deliver him.
Amen.
You know, some people, if they're looking for supernatural things, they can go astray. I don't say that so you'll not look for supernatural things. Everywhere Jesus was, there were supernatural things.
Amen.
Every time he preached supernatural events, folly to preaching.
Right.
Every time the disciples preached supernatural events, folly what they said. They had the wisdom of God. They had the power of God. They had the manifestation of the Holy Spirit of the living God moving among them, in them and through them. You know, I only spoke a while with him, and he was more interested to preach me a sermon than I was to preach him one. And that's usually the case, but no matter. But Brother Frank's pressing on, and he's telling me that the Lord willing, the next weekend he's going to have Brother Andrew Beecham with him, and they're going to be sharing and preaching from the Word of God again. But it's just something. Also, our sister Christina, Charles' sister-in-law, Christina McDonald, came down from London in the taxi, and she was sharing with us how that James McDonald is very, very ill, and said that they needed to amputate his leg, but they're unable to do that because he's so ill. And they said that the shock of it would even kill him. But they're just praying, people are just praying, and Sister Christina, as I mentioned to Tommy, asked that we'd all remember that man in prayer and lift him up before the Lord. For only the Lord, you know, can touch a man's heart. Only the Lord can do something like that. But bless the Lord. So, the Lord bless you, and thanks again for your prayers, and thanks for the support, and thanks for the opportunity to share that with you this morning. And I just want to encourage you this morning now. It's gone up 10 minutes to 12. And really, I'm looking at this watch and it says 10 to 1. I need to move it back, but listen, I want to share with you this morning something from Luke's Gospel, chapter 5. I'm going to try to speak for a few moments on a subject, and I've entitled it Something Better to Do. Something Better to Do. And if you find the scripture, we'll maybe stand and read it from the scripture this morning. first 11 verses of Luke's Gospel in chapter 5. And this is the story of Peter on the fishing boat. And it's really a fascinating story. Verse 1 says, "And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were going out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thirst out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word I will let down the net. And when he had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so also was James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. Just a word of prayer. Our Father, we bless your name. We thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you for this opportunity of coming around your word. We ask the Holy Spirit will come and speak your word to us, Lord. And let the things be said that you want to be said. And let us refrain from saying anything, Lord, that you don't want mentioned. But, Lord, we ask you'll take a few words and impart it again to us, Lord. And may it be, Lord, as the bread, may it be as Elijah's cake. May we get something from it, Lord, that will give us strength. And may you encourage your people this morning, Lord, and help them. And just give us your grace, we pray, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. You may have your seats this morning. And just taking off this jacket. You know, this portion of Scripture, it's a wonderful portion of Scripture, and it's a great story here. And I've got myself a title for this morning, and you know, I don't want to maybe skip over it and not say what I believe I've written down here, or what I wanted to say was. And really, the title that I have come up with for this portion of Scripture is Something Better to Do. Something Better to Do. Now, sometimes we hear the words or the phrase, nothing better to do. The world has that one, haven't they? Nothing better to do. And you know, there is people, and sad to say, they've nothing better to do. They're doing all kinds of wrong things. They're doing all kinds of things that they ought not to be doing. And maybe the reason is there's nothing better to do. But I want to encourage you this morning, because I believe as God's people, as God's brothers and sisters in the Lord, we have got something better to do. Hallelujah. We have got something better to do. If you're a Christian, you've got something better to do than the world has. The world hasn't anything to do that can compare with what you have to do. You've got something better to do. Hallelujah. And you know, you don't need me to tell you that we're in the last days. You don't need me to tell you that morals are becoming lower and lower and lower and lower. You know, I don't know how many people here is crazy enough to buy the Bond Bridge Chronicle, but my wife buys the Bond Bridge Chronicle. And I used to hear my dad talking about the price of it, and I used to think, oh, what's he talking about? It's 30 shillings, that's an old money. It's maybe more than 30 shillings. That's £1 and a 10 shilling note. Now, you young people, listen to this, because of Mr. EU. Now, I don't want to spend too much time, but because of Mr. EU, we went to bed one night. And when we went to bed that night, this was in the 70s, there was 240 pennies in a pound. Are you listening? And when we got up the next morning, there was 100 pennies in it.
That's right.
We lost 140 pennies. There was never a word about it. There used to be farthings. That was a quarter of a penny. Yeah, there is no. There used to be half pennies. There is no. You young girls is laughing at that. Now, it's maybe not what I wanted to say this morning, but you see the way the thing. The world is crazy. The world is crazy. Now, I started to tell you about the Chronicle. Front page news headlines on the Chronicle this week. Two sodomite men, standing hand in hand on our country, Northern Ireland, part of the UK, has embraced sodomy. Legalized it. It's no longer a crime. And you know, without me telling you, it's no longer a crime for a woman to have an abortion. Is it, am I right when I say 16 weeks? 12 weeks? 16 weeks? Sorry?
28 weeks.
You know, that's James Bond. Mr. James Bond. Mr. England. Mr. James Bond. License to kill.
That's
license to kill. The Bible says, thou shalt not kill. But Cain slew Abel because he was of the wicked one. You see, he didn't have it in his heart not to kill, but it was in his heart to kill. It was in the heart, you see. Kill him. So, this is where we're at. We're at the end time. Righteousness exalts the nation, but sin is a reproach unto any people. And some people have nothing better to do. They've nothing better to do. There was a school here, and I should have checked the name of it, but I think it was a primary school. And the Christian Workers Union class, or the Christian class in that school, was the teacher put up on the blackboard. And she put up something about the determination of a baby was not right, and something to do with abortion. And then there was an uproar. Now, she done that in what they called the Christian Union. The Christian Union, the Christian Workers Union, part of the school. So they said it was a discrimination against people's rights, and it had to be taken down. And not only had it be taken down, but she had to come and make a full apology. Make an apology. Apologize for people not to have the right to murder.
Right.
You know that woman, I'm assuming, I think it was a lady teacher, but I'm assuming that she would have lost her job over that. The Bible says it shall come to pass in the last days that every man or woman who will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer.
Right.
persecution. They want to persecute you today if you have something better to do. They want to persecute you today if you have something better to say, let alone do. They don't want to hear the truth. They don't want to hear about a better way. They want their way. Man's way. The devil's way. The world's way. I thank God, God's people have something better to do.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You know, that's so sad, isn't it? So sad. But we see the day we're living in. We see the time. We know we're at the end time. You wouldn't need to be smart. You wouldn't need to be really, really, really good theologian for to work this out. Now, let me get to this story, and I'm not going to spend long on it this morning, but let me say this, and you know, I'm not going to say anything that you don't know. If I say something that you don't know, then I have said something that I shouldn't have said. Now, believe it or not, don't take this the wrong way, but we have an unction from God, and we know all things. We do know things. I know sometimes I talk about us that we think we know. Paul says, we know nothing as we ought to know. But also, John says, we have an unction from God, and we know all things. And he said, you need not that any man teach you, for the anointing which is of God will teach you. So, what is that? That's discerning the word of God. Let's say, that's true, that's not true. That's right, that's not right. Peter's parked the ship. Peter and James and John that brought the ships in. And Jesus comes on the scene. You know, when Jesus comes on the scene, usually 99 times out of 100, something good is going to happen. Something good is going to take place. And Jesus comes to where Peter is. Peter never invites him. He came to where Peter was. Now, we just read it here in verse 3 of Luke's Gospel 5, and it says, this is about Jesus, and he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thirst out a little from the land, and he sat down, and he taught the people out of the ship. Now, I should have said that, and we read it also, that the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God. So there was a multitude pressing upon the Lord Jesus Christ, and they were wanting to hear the word of God. Now, if you want to know anything about the word of God, and if you want to be a great scholar in the word of God, my advice is to you is for to read about the Lord Jesus Christ and try to learn something about him. And if you'll get something about him, you'll get something that will sustain you. And you will get something that will also stand the test of time.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Right.
And you not only get that, but I believe you'll get a work to do.
Right.
Now, and you might say, well, John, I've got a job. Yes, Peter had a job, but God wanted to give him something better to do. Now, remember that. Peter had a job, but God wanted to give him a better job. God wanted to give him something better to do. Something worthwhile doing. Now, when you talk about that, you're talking about how you spend your time, how you use your time, what you do with your time. And here Jesus gets in the ship and he says to Peter, will you bring her out a wee bit from the shoreline? And he brings the ship out a little from the shoreline. Now listen, the Lord asked Peter to do something very simple and something very small. Not a big job, was it? No. God doesn't ask you to do a big job right away, you know. He starts you with the small things. Starts you with the small things. See your reaction. See what you'll do when you do the small things. Now, if you don't do the small one, don't expect the big one. And that's... this is in the scripture.
Amen.
I believe that.
You don't do the small one. How are you going to do the big one? So here Peter does what he's told, and he moves the ship out a wee bit into the water from the shoreline. And the Bible says the fishermen were out of the ships and they were washing their nets. They were cleaning their nets. They were mending their nets. They were getting ready to go again. And you know, the Lord is starting to speak. And you're not told all the details, but I'm sure Peter heard something of what he said. You wouldn't been on that ship with him and not hear what he said. And you know, I think he must have remarked how he was a bit different from anything he'd ever heard before. And Jesus is addressing the crowd. He's addressing the audience. And then the meeting's over. And the preaching's done. And in verse 4, we read these words, and now when he had left speaking, that was Jesus. When Jesus had stopped speaking, he turns to Peter, and he addresses Peter. And he says to Peter, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. Now, could you imagine the conversation? You know, Peter, in them days, there probably wasn't a fishing quota. Wonder how the Lord, we're maybe not told at all, but I wonder what the Lord did really just say to them. Did he just say, right, let down the nets, launch out into the deep and let down the nets? Or did he say, what way is the business going? What way is things going? What do you do? What do you do? Have you any spare time on your hands? We're not told none of that. Didn't say anything about that, but may have been the conversation, may not have been the conversation. But the Lord said, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. Now, immediately Peter had a reaction. Why had he a reaction? He had a reaction because he had a bad experience letting down them nets. Bad experience. And he said, Simon, verse 5 says, Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. Lord, here we go again. Could Peter have said that? Lord, we worked there all night for nothing. Does it sound familiar to you in any way? Well, no, I'm not speaking to you this morning to condemn you. I'm not condemning anybody in here. But you can work so much for so little. Now, I'm talking about natural, but I'm also talking about spiritual. And Peter said, Lord, we worked all night to get nothing. In other words, we wasted our time. We were only wasting our time. If I'd have noticed much, I could have sat at home and put my feet in the oven. I could have went down and had a sleep in bed. Tried all night and got nothing. No results. No results. Not a single fish. Not one. That's a time-wasting experience, isn't it? Peter didn't have any faith at this time. He had no faith. He had no faith. No. When he would, what he said to the Lord, nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. Lord, if you want me to let the net down, I'm going to let it down. Lord, I think it's a waste of time. I think it will not work. Lord, I've done it before and it didn't work. I've done it till I'm blue in the face. I've let the net down, Lord, and I've come up with nothing. So, what happens then? Peter says, right, Lord, I'm going to take you at your word. Do you know what that really means? Lord, I'm going to do it, but I'm not responsible if there's not nothing in the net. I'm not responsible. All I'm doing is letting the net down, Lord. You're the one that said to let it down. I'm not responsible for what's in the net. I don't have any ability to fill the net. I don't have any strength of my own to get fish to come to that net or go in that net. I'm doing it, but it's nothing to do with me. You're the one that's in charge.
Yes, amen.
Oh, boy. You see, when Jesus preached, there was always miracles.
Amen.
When Jesus preached, there was always deliverance. When Jesus preached, there was always the power of God available. The manifestation of the power of God always came to where he was.
Oh, why? Why am I saying this? I'm saying this because there's something better that God has for you to do.
I'm not saying you're doing what he doesn't want you to do. I'm only saying he has something more. He has something better for you to do than what you're doing. And if you're already doing it, well, he has more of it for you to do.
Amen. Now, Peter just done what he knowed how. Peter just done what he knowed how. God doesn't ask you to do something that you don't know how to do. Now you might say, I can't do it. Well, the Lord can help you do it. But Peter was asked to do something that he had done before. He'd done this before. Now, verse 5, Simon answered and said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word I will let the net down. And in verse 6, this is what we read. And when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. Now, they didn't only enclose a great multitude of fishes. In verse 7 we read the words, and they beckoned unto their partners which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. The Voza didn't work then, but if the Voza had got them, they were overloaded. They were overloaded. They were overloaded so much that both the ships began to sink. Let me tell you, this was a miracle.
Amen.
This was a miracle. Now, while the Lord said to them, fish, come, and they came from away far, I don't know. Or while the Lord created them in the net, I don't know. But one thing I do know and do believe, they were in the net. And the net wouldn't have held one more. Wouldn't have held one more. The net was breaking with the weight. And they loaded the ship. And they didn't only load Simon's ship, but they loaded James and John's ship. They loaded them two ships. And them two ships was overloaded and began to sink.
Why? That's God. That's not Peter. Peter wasn't that good a fisherman. He was good, but he wasn't that good. James and John might have been good and the men with him, but they weren't that good. Now, I say it, and I'm going to say it again, they weren't responsible for what was in the net.
Right.
They were only responsible for letting it down.
Amen.
You know you're only responsible for letting down the net. How do you let down the net? I'll tell you how you let it down. First and foremost, preach the gospel.
Amen.
Amen.
That's the best net. The gospel net is the best net. Now, I'll come to that in a moment here. Listen. We're going to read on. The two ships is sinking. You can imagine it in your mind. You know, I try to picture that old fishing boat and sitting there and them nets, they were washing the nets, they were cleaning the nets. Boy, that's a sermon on our soul. Get the net washed. Washed in the blood of the Lamb.
Amen.
Get the net cleaned. Get rid of the rubbish. Get the filth. Get the stuff out of the net that shouldn't be in there, because it's hindering the fish from coming in.
Amen.
They were washing the nets. They were preparation for a harvest. They were preparation to let it down. Get the net washed and then let it down.
Amen.
Why? You see, how do you let it down? The gospel. The gospel net's the best net. Let me say this, let me rephrase that. The gospel net is the only net.
Amen.
There's no other net.
Amen. Yes,
Lord. There's only one net. There's only one way. It's a way that seems right unto the man, but the end thereof is the way of death. It has pleased God through the foolishness of what? Letting down the net? No, preaching the gospel to save them that would believe. Let the net down. How do you let the net down? Pray for the sick. Preach the gospel. Pray for the sick. When the Lord sent them out two by two, he said, go and preach the gospel of the kingdom and heal the sick. You know, modern people have left that bit out. They said, oh, but we can no longer do that. You know, if you're talking to Peter today, would you ask Peter, Peter, can you fill the fishing net? You know what he'd say? Never filled one in my life. He'd say, the Lord always filled it.
Glory. Amen.
Hallelujah. Never filled a net in my life.
Amen.
The Lord always filled the net. We're not here to fill nets. We're here to let them down.
Glory.
Amen.
You're not responsible for what's in it. You're responsible to let it down. Let the net down.
Amen.
Launch out into the deep. Outreach.
Glory.
Don't sit there and don't move. Get off the shoreline. About launching the boat. You can't use a boat on dry land.
Amen.
You need to have wheels on it. Well, I have news for you. You know this. There's no wheels on a boat. It doesn't go on dry land. I saw one. She was in dry dock and she was painted up and done up, but she never was in the water. No use. What use is a boat sitting on dry land?
Right.
It'll never serve its purpose until it gets in the water.
Amen.
You know, a lot of you people have got boats. I want you to ask you, where are you in the boat? Where's your boat? You know what I'm saying? What floats your boat? I'll tell you what floats my boat. The Holy Ghost. That's what Samantha floated. The Holy Ghost. You know, I said, and I had the dream, I saw it. And I said, how do you get this boat to the water? You know what happened? I said, you don't have to take it to the water. The water's coming to where it is. Hallelujah. And the water came in, ran where the boat was, and all of a sudden the boat was no longer on dry land. The boat was on water. You know, you need the Holy Ghost. You need the power of God. You need the Spirit of God. You need to want that hunger. You need to want the Holy Spirit to come. Well, anyway, God can float your boat. In verse 8, we read these words. When Simon saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. You know, when Peter saw it, when Peter saw what the Lord had done, he said, "Lord, depart from me." Can you imagine that? Can you imagine a man saying, "Lord, you better go away from me and not come back. Lord, you better leave." Why did Peter say that? He said, "I'm a sinful man, Lord. Lord, I'm a sinner." He recognized he was a sinner. You know, that's the greatest thing any man can ever do.
Yes.
Recognize he's a sinner. Jesus receives sinners.
Amen.
This man receiveth sinners. He didn't say, "Peter, look, you need to do this, you need to do that, you need to clean your life up, you need to..." "Oh, Peter, I know you're a bad man. Peter, you're a sinner." Oh, Peter. That's Peter right. Never chose Christ. Christ chose Peter.
Amen. That's right.
Yes, amen.
You never chose Christ. Christ chose you. Christ asked you. Christ came to where you were. Christ came looking for you. Hallelujah. Christ said, "Launch out into the deep and let down your nets." He's the one. Said, "Lord, I'm a sinful man." Jesus didn't say, I didn't ask you, were you a sinner? I didn't ask you that. Jesus never asked him what sort of a man he was. He just said, "Launch out into the deep and let down your net." He said, "I'll do the rest. If you'll do that, I'll do the rest. If you'll do that and stand on that and say, 'Lord, this is what I believe you want me to do, and I'm doing it now, and I want to see a result.'" Now, Peter saw the result. Practically immediately, he saw a result right away. He saw the results of his faith, of his little faith. And I say little faith in God's word. You see, he was astonished because God worked a miracle. And so was James and John, the sons of Zebedee. And the Lord said to Peter, "Fear not," verse 10. Partners with Simon, and Jesus said unto Simon, "Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men." That's the gospel. From now on you're gonna catch men. You're gonna. This is something better to do. And the Bible says in verse 11, "And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him." You know, I have said something better to do. And I'm going to tell you now, you know this. What is that something better? It's follow Jesus. You say, "Oh, John, sure, I've been following him all my life. I've been following him for years." Well, listen. Follow him more. Follow him more. Follow him more. Something better to do. You know, I want you to notice something here, and I'm almost finished. I'm almost through. Whenever Jesus got on the boat and he started preaching to the audience, to the multitude, and to the people who were pressing upon him, whenever he had finished preaching, he didn't turn around. He didn't say to Peter, "I want you to do something." And Peter said, "Lord, what's that?" "I want you to leave this boat here and come with me." I wonder if the Lord had done that, what would have happened? What would have happened? Did you ever think about that? Now, I really believe the Lord wanted Peter to leave the boat. He did, he wanted him to leave. "Peter, lovest thou me more than these?" Peter's tendency was to go back to the old way, go back to the boat, keep going back. But I thank God that the Lord didn't bring Peter out on a low. Peter could have said, Why, the fishing industry, the fishing business is away with. We have had a bad run, we have had a bad time. We're down and out, we're broke. We have no money, we have no fish, we have no money. We can't make the two ends meet. The fishing has been really, really bad. But I believe the Lord allowed Peter to be successful that day. I believe he allowed him to be successful. And when he saw the miracle, when he saw how successful he was because Jesus had said so, he was willing to walk away from it. There's something better to do. Hallelujah. You know, whenever they brought them ships, in verse 11 it says, and when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. Oh boy, there's nothing better to do. There's nothing better that you can do than follow Christ.
Right.
Follow him. You know, we sing that wee chorus, sometimes I've decided to follow Jesus. I won't turn back. I won't turn back. You know, I'm going to end it there. I just want to encourage you to follow Jesus. I want to encourage you to launch out into the deep. You may say, John, I'm doing that, I've been doing it. Well, if you can say that to me, I'm going to say to you, well, keep on keeping on. Keep on doing it. Keep on launching out into the deep. Keep on preaching the gospel. Keep on reaching out to the lost. And never forget that God loves sinners. God loves sinners. You know, when you read about that, launch out into the deep, it's an invite to do it again. Do it again. You know, if you've done something for the Lord and you think it hasn't been a success, do it again. That sounds silly, doesn't it? But I believe God bless you if you do it again. Don't give up. You know, Peter could have said, I wouldn't be barred, Lord. It's not worth the bar. Not worth the trouble. But he done it. And when he done it, he saw a miracle. Who knows? Did anybody come to Peter that morning and say to Peter, have you ever seen a miracle? He would have said, no. Somebody said, Peter, you've never seen a miracle, but you're going to see one today. He would have said, I don't think it. How's it going to happen? Let me say this again. He wasn't responsible for how it was going to happen. God was.
Yeah.
When you take him at his word, you're not responsible for how it's going to happen. God is. Now, I know we mightn't have all the answers, but I believe that God wants us to have something better to do.
Amen.
No, I don't want to prolong, or I don't want to keep going on and on and on. But I think it's a question I believe the Lord has asked me. And by his grace, I'm going to keep asking myself that question. Have I anything better to do? Why did I say that? I say that because before the end of this year, the Lord could come. The Lord could come.
Amen.
You ever think one day you'll go into the gospel service and it's your last one? You ever think you go down to the prayer meeting and it's your last one? Ever think you witness to that man or witness to that woman and that's the last time that they'll ever see the net or be close to the net? Never that net never to cast by again, that gospel message never to be spoke again. You see, the world has nothing better to do, but you have.
Amen.
And you know the world wants you to be like them. You're strong today in church. The world has come into the church. The world has come into the church. The church hasn't went into the world. The world has come into the church. You know, I shouldn't say this, but I'm going to say it in passing. Over at Brother Frank's, there was a man came down to visit his fellowship. And he was from Stevenish. And he was called Stephen. And he came in the meeting and he wore a cap. He wore a cap on his head. And he never took it off. Right. That's strange, isn't it? Man coming into church with his head covered. Maybe the Lord told him. I don't think the Lord told him to do it, but I didn't say anything. There's a man sitting there with a hat on. You see, morals have become lower. I spoke to Lamont there during the week, and his wife is a teacher in the Abercorn Primary School in Bondbridge. And I had the misfortune of going there myself. I never liked it. But I was leaving the school one day, and there's another boy with me, and he was a fella called George Brown, and he was a son of Herd Brown's that had the grocery shop. Now, most of you in here is too young to remember that. Billy would remember it. Henning would remember it. Boba would remember Herd Brown at the bottom of the street in Bondbridge. Herd had a son called George, and George and me was going down the walk from school. We were going down the path, down the driveway, and we heard a rap on the window up the stairs, and we turned and looked back, and somebody shouting, and it was the teacher, and she was, "Come here, boy. You, boy. You there, boy. Come here." And I looked at Geordie Brown, and he looked at me, and I said, "Is it you?" And he said, "Is it you?" And we went back up into her room, not knowing what was going to happen. And when we got in there, George Brown was told that he had his shirt tail out. His shirt tail's out. You not leave the school dressed like that. Get the shirt tail in, then go home. Wouldn't happen today. You were going out of the school naked. Let you walk on. If you're going out dressed, if you're a young fella and you're going out dressed like a girl, you're normal. If you're a girl and you're going out dressed like a man, you're normal. You know, I've seen a woman in the airport, and I don't want to get away. I don't want to take the issue off you and me, because we're the ones that's important here. But I saw a woman in the airport while I was waiting to go fly into London Gatwick. There was a woman in the airport, and she had the Billy Two Rivers haircut. That's the baldy head with a stripe down the middle. Mohican. Shaved. I was waiting to see the tomahawk. I can remember. I can remember watching the television in the 60s and I Pope John died.
Yes, Lord.
But he had died. And they brought nuns out. They brought nuns out and lined them up on the runway, or lined them up in the courtyard. be daughters of Christ. God didn't save anybody to put them in a nun. God didn't save you for you to get sitting down somewhere for 40 years and not move. God doesn't want you to sit down. He doesn't want you to waste your time. He wants you to redeem your time. Why is he saying that? He's saying that because there's something better for you to do. And I want you to ask yourself the question next time you're going to do something, no matter what it is, I want you to ask yourself, is there anything better that I can do? And I trust the Lord will help you and help me. Praise the Lord. I'm just going to pray and then going to ask Guy or Tommy to come. Thank the Lord. Praise the Lord. Our Father, I thank you for your people this morning. And Lord, I believe you're in simplicity. I believe you're in your word, Lord. And Lord, you know the many times we have maybe let the net down or we have maybe refrained. Lord, help us to let the net down. Oh God, never help us, Lord, never to be afraid to let the net down. No matter what the circumstances. No matter what it looks like. No matter about the failures, help us to let the net down. Lord, I believe you asked me to say this morning. Lord, if it come from me, well, it's not worth listening to. But if it come from you, Lord, we need to take notice. Lord, I pray that I'll take notice and we'll all take notice. And we let down that net, Lord, again. One more time. Again, Lord, not maybe one more time, but again and again, Lord, until you fill not only the net, but fill the ship and cause her to start to sink. Lord, help us to waste the net. That gospel net. Take out of it anything that's untrue. And only leave the pure word of God. In Jesus' name. And Lord, give us something better to do. Lord, Peter made the decision that day. He forsook all and he followed you. Lord, I'm not saying to your people to leave the work. No, I'm not saying that. But Lord, I pray you'll help us, Lord, even while we leave the work or while we don't. You'll help us to have something better to do for you, Lord. Lord Jesus, in your name I ask these things and for your glory. Lord, we're letting down a net just now. And it's a net, Lord, that you will bless your people. Lord, I'm letting down the net for a special blessing to come on my brothers and sisters, Lord. Lord, I'm asking you that you'll fill that net. You'll fill that net, Lord. Maybe not with the things that we want, but what you want. I pray the net will be filled, Lord, and that filled in such a way the ship will not be able to hold nothing else. Lord, fill my way every day with your love. Let me walk with you, Lord. In Jesus' name, Lord, I know Enoch walked with you and he was not, for you took him. Oh God, meet every need in this room, Lord, whether it be physical, spiritual, financial, or whatever need it would be. Let it come in the net just now, Lord, as we let it down. In Jesus' name, we say, Lord, us from this time, we believe there's going to be a change for the better. And I say, Lord, help us to do something better to do. In Jesus' name, I pray it will never be said of us that we have nothing better to do. But that it will be said we have something better to do. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. I'm not going to take no time. I really enjoyed that. Believe us from the Lord. Let's stand our feet. The brother Guy's going to come. It's encouraging, isn't it? Let the nets down. And I tell you, when you're preaching a lot, it's Sometimes I think nothing's happening. I believe it is a word from the Lord this morning for me. Maybe it's for others as well. I believe it's a word for me to keep going.
Yeah.
Praise God. Let the net down. Isn't it great? Not a fish. Not a fish. And God said one more time. I was thinking when our brother John was preaching, Samson's eyes were out. The Philistines were mocking him. They let a wee lad bring him up and they made fun of him. And they thought they'd got a victory over the great Jehovah. And Samson said to the wee lad, lead me to the posts that hold the whole building up. And he cried once more. One more time. One more time, Lord. And there was more slain in the death of Samson than in his whole lifetime. He wiped them all near out. God gave him the victory. You can call him backslid, call him whatever you want. Eyes were out, everything. And I'll tell you, there's a sermon William Branham preaches at, and he said, that's the church today is blind. He typed it to the church today is blind. They've let the enemy put their eyes out. But if they'll turn back to God and say once more,
amen.
God done it. And God done it for Peter. Amen. Praise God. The Lord bless you, brother. I believe it is a word from the Lord. And I'm going to take no time. Don't forget our service tonight. I know some people can't come, but those that can come. There's an opportunity tonight. There's not many of us here on a Sunday night. But I do believe the net's let down. I believe it's let down. And I'm telling you, I'm going to keep letting it down. I believe God's told me this morning to do it. And any of you, if it's a subject you might think's teaching, well, I'm not a teacher. So I'm going to take it like an evangelist, whether it's teaching or not. That's just the way I'm going to do it. That's just me. I'm not going to change that. That's the way God's made me. So I'm not changing it. But I'll still take the subject and go at it like that. You come along tonight. We're going to be in Daniel, the Lord willing, tonight. My vision for the night is to prove from the Word of God how that God stood over every prophecy and brought it to pass. A more sure word. God done it. Right to this hour we're living in, we've heard it this morning. We maybe take it lightly what's happened in this country, you know, and I know I'm saying I'm taking the time up and the brother's going to come. But it is terrible that a 28-week-old baby can be aborted. That is terrible. And it's been passed. Now, this country can't write up England no more. And they can't write up America or nowhere, which they used to do. They needn't do it no more. For they're now as bad as the rest. And I'll tell you, this country's brewing for another war. I'm telling you, it's here this morning. There's trouble brewing. There's been meetings held now, even while we're talking. There's people itching to get the guns going. God's people need to be praying that God will move in this land. God bless you. God bless you, brother. Come ahead. God bless you.
Lord, Heavenly Father, thank you and praise you this morning once again for the preaching of thy word. Lord, once again, Lord, you have set forth that you are a compassionate Savior. Lord, for you did indeed come to seek and to save that which was lost. And Lord, we think, Lord, of how you commanded, Lord Peter, Lord, to let down the net.
Amen.
Lord, this is the gospel, Lord Jesus Christ. That's what you came to do. You came to rescue men from the pool of sin.
Amen.
And Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you rescued us and you drew us, Lord, with that same net, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you washed us in your blood. Lord, even think, Lord, how it is from heaven that you let down a great sheet containing all manner of unclean beasts. And you said to Peter, arise and eat. And Lord, he said he wouldn't eat because they were unclean. But you said, call not that common or unclean which I have cleansed. We thank you, Lord, that sometimes, Lord, the fish come in, Lord, they're filthy, they're dirty, they're not what we would expect. But Lord, you're the one that does the catching and you're the one that does the cleaning. We just pray, Lord Jesus Christ, that you'll help us, Lord, not to be judgmental, Lord Jesus, or say there's anything too hard for thee, for nothing is too difficult for thee. Lord, if you can clean me, you can clean anyone, Lord. If you can clean a murderer, you can clean anyone. If you can cleanse an adulteress, you can cleanse anyone, Lord. Lord Jesus, we thank you, Lord, that the blood of Jesus knows no limitations. And Lord, we thank you, Lord Jesus, neither does the grace of God, for you're merciful unto all them that call upon your name for salvation. We thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, that your grace aboundeth more. Lord, your word says, where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. Oh, Lord, what a wonderful gospel we have this morning. What wonderful good news we have.
Yes.
That Jesus died for sinful men. We thank you, Lord, even as the little chorus says, I have got good news to tell. Jesus have done all things well and triumphed over death and hell. We thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, that you are the risen living Savior. Lord, we say beside you this morning, there is no way. And Lord, even as our brother said, Lord, there is but one net, and that's the gospel net. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, that your word and your gospel is no respecter of persons. Lord, for your word even declares it. Lord, when Peter said, I perceive of a truth that God is no respecter of persons. Lord, we thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, that you are, Lord, are able to look past, Lord, our blackness, Lord, and look past our sin, for your word even declares that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. Lord, we thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, that you reached us, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for thy precious blood. We thank you for Calvary, Lord. Let us not forget it, even as we have sang this morning, the world behind me, the cross before me. Lord Jesus Christ, may we always reach Calvary and always lift up you, Lord. For your word says, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. Lord Jesus, this morning, you're the only one worth lifting up. You're the only one worth praising this morning. For you're the only one that can do for man what man needs to be done. Lord, we our own selves are helpless, but Lord, thou art mighty. And we praise thy holy name. Lord, thou art able to save. Lord, we are nothing this morning, but Lord, you're everything. And Lord, as the little chorus says, he's everything to me. Lord, we thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, this morning. Lord, that you are indeed God, and beside you there is none other. Lord, we just ask you this morning that you'll pour out your blessing, as already been prayed, upon each head that's bowed this morning. We pray, Lord God, that as we leave this place, Lord, help us to go wherever we're going in safety. And Lord, bring us again this evening, Lord, to fellowship around thy word. We pray, Lord, that you'll bless the pastors who prepare us for tonight. And bless us also, Lord, that we'll come, Lord, and feast again round thy table and round thy word in the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Lord, for we know, Lord, as the little chorus says, and as Solomon wrote, and Lord, he brought me in to his banqueting house and his banner over me this morning. Lord, we just ask you this morning, Lord, this afternoon, that you'll just keep each one of us, Lord, as the apple of your eye, and keep us in the palm of your hand. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Lord, we'll be careful to give you the glory, the honor, and the praise, for Lord, it belongs to thee. In Jesus Christ's name, we pray. Amen. Well, Lord, bless you. Lord, we'll see you this evening at 6 o'clock. Maybe we can try and sing that just even a course, and not bringing in the sheep.